This is a regular introduction to the podcast, the Indie Film Review. It is completely regular and nothing is special about it.
That was very plain. You are correct.
Very
Thanks,
buddy.
Regular.
I'm Jared. That's Dan. This is the Indie Film Review. Hello.
Hello. We're going to review an independent film for you.
Independent film. Dan?
Yes.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Oh.
Not as well as Shia LaBeouf.
It's Shia LaBeouf? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Shia LaBeouf is going to be the topic of this episode. And it's interesting because, okay, we watched Honey Boy.
Right? Honey Boy!
Now, this is a film I've been wanting to see for a while. And I've had a off-again, on-again, off-again relationship with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
And I guess we could just get into that right now before we even start talking about the movie.
Okay.
Because first, so he started off as a child actor.
Yes,
doing
Even
like
Stevens.
Leaven or whatever. And, you know, that's fine, whatever. He's doing good. Then he started doing the Transformers, got super famous, started making bank. And I'm like, I'm not
making
into the Transformers.
Paper.
Yeah, he is. And it's like, I don't hate him for that, you know? So it was like, okay, I don't know who this kid is. He's making these, like, movies that are
Indiana
whatever,
Jones and the
me.
Crystal Skull Kingdom.
Oh, that was terrible. But, like, that kind of wasn't his fault. He, you know, it's, again, he's just, like, he's just making that money.
Well, he
know?
Was in that Sia music video that was really good where he was in a cage with that girl. I think he did really well in this film. Honey Boy.
So, as an actor, I think he is incredible. I think he's really good. And I started to respect him more after he left Transformers. And I could finally see him do real acting roles. But as a person, he might be a monster. He might be the worst person ever. More than likely, he probably is. And I'm pretty sure he is blacklisted now from movies because of everything that's been going on with him.
See, I'm not... So, I just know, like, Michelle has told me about him and his transgressions, but, like, she hasn't gone into the details. She does all the reading, and she's like, yeah, Shia LaBeouf's fucking up. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
So I won't go into a lot of the detail, maybe some of, like, the newer stuff, but, like, he's been accused multiple times of plagiarism, which was, like, the big thing from back in the day, and now he's been getting in trouble a lot for alcoholism and drinking too much, which comes up in this movie, because this is kind of like an
autobiographical picture.
Yes, it's like a self-insert for him on his struggles. And I was reading an interview about this movie that I believe he did, where he's like, you know, oh, I really learned a lot from, you know, the past few years. And it's like in 2018 is like, I went back to rehab again for going to jail he like accosted a police officer. Mm-hmm. He didn't realize he was a police officer while he was drunk. And, he keeps avoiding jail time and they keep sending him to rehab for his alcoholism. And then they tell him like, hey, you have like post-traumatic stress or like you're like kind of shell-shocked from something and we need to find out why. And not in, like, the war sense. I can't think of the correct term. I'm sorry. And apparently it was through his relationship with his dad is what he was trying to say with this film of, like, how his dad was terrible. Apparently his dad was a complete monster and was way worse than he was in this film.
Well, I mean,
we will get into that.
Typically, you know, child act, like, I mean, you hear a lot of stories about child actors and their parents,
abused.
Like, being, Macaulay Culkin and all the Culkins were very used by their monsters of families.
Well, I think it's a common thing of, like,
I mean, who leaves a kid at home? Come on.
On Christmas! Oh, on Christmas, no less. That movie was a documentary, by the way.
Yes.
But, I would say there are definitely exceptions to the rule, like the 2.5 Men kid.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up to be totally
normal. Exactly.
He made a ton of money, got out, and he was fine.
There is, you know, exceptions to the rule, but like it's not surprising to learn of like these monsters of people that will just leech money because money makes the world go round, apparently.
Yeah, And it's brought up in the film many times, but like the entire deal of feeling resentment towards your child because they are making more money than you and you're actually working for them. And it's like the weird thing with like pageant families too, where it's like people enter their child into like a child pageant and they're like vicariously living through their child. But then if their child gets too successful, they start to hate and resent them. You know what I mean? It's an awful cycle of just terrible nonsense. And that can really psychologically affect a kid. All that being said, it does not excuse anything that Shia LaBeouf has either done or been accused of.
That's what I'm kind of getting out of this movie. It's like this movie was either a cry for help or B, like a repentance. And I think he meant it to be a repentance. And it's like, this is why the way I am. And I'm like, you still shouldn't be like, it's not an excuse for your behavior.
So this was supposed to be a redemption arc for him of like, hey, I was an alcoholic and abusive and a terrible person. And it's because my dad was like that. And now I'm going to do better and blah, blah, blah. But now leading up to in 2018, Shia LaBeouf started dating, you know, the girl that lived at the hotel with them across the street that had their relationship with the young kid.
Yeah.
So that... Hold on, I'll pull it up. She became the girlfriend of Shia LaBeouf.
Really?
Yes.
From this movie.
Hold on. So they started a relationship. Let me pull her name up. She goes by FKA Twigs, which I think is like a stage name. But she recently came out and accused Shia LaBeouf of a lot of stuff. And I will read that now. She is suing him for... sexual battery, assault, and infliction of emotional distress. And she listed a lot of things like strangling her, locking her in rooms, like doing a lot of like really insane stuff. And then another ex-girlfriend came out, started saying a ton of other things about him. Very similar, like he, and it's a lot of it when he was drunk too. And he like held a woman down and like headbutted her.
Jesus.
Until she started bleeding and like really and just crazy, awful, awful things. So while he's making his redemption arc, Dealey, he's still acting the way that his dad used to this woman who is supposed to be in a relationship with a version of himself that is a kid, and then he's also dating her.
Really weird.
We're going to talk about that relationship scene because there was one scene that I skipped and I have to ask you a question about because I was like, I don't want to watch this.
Is it you let me do all the hard watching? Is that what it is?
That's right. I'll explain more later, but Dan, you do a lot of the heavy lifting in this podcast, so I appreciate you. So yeah, I felt conflicted because I didn't realize how bad it was with him. And then I started reading a lot of the allegations. I'm like, oh, should we have even watched this movie? I don't even know. But it's like, because, like, I don't think we're supporting him, really. Because it's already on Amazon. It's, I don't know. It's like, I didn't pay for this. So, I don't know. How do you feel about that, Dan? Do you think we should not have watched this movie?
I mean, maybe not. Because, like, all I can do is praise the film because it's very well made. The cinematography is excellent. The story is, like, it's gut-wrenching. Like, there's a lot of really fucked up things that happen to this kid.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to imagine it comes directly out of his life. Like, things like this happen to him. But again, just because you made a tell-all movie doesn't excuse your behavior and the ongoing behavior. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. For sure. I probably said this, you know, a lot. And probably on the show, too. But, like, Kevin Spacey was, like, one of my favorite actors ever. And he also turned out to be kind of a monster and a weird, weird guy. He keeps making videos of him in character, like of like his House of Cards character saying like, I'm going to be proven innocent and blah, blah, blah. And judge, ye be judged, you know, like weird shit like that. And you're like, okay, all right, psycho. He's such a strange guy. But like, why are all my heroes bad people, Dan? Why are all the good actors mean, like, bad?
Why are all the great songs that? of the world have to do with like sleeping with underage women? Have you noticed that?
Uh-huh. It's so hard to separate the artist from the art. And it's just weird because I feel like sometimes I really do pick and choose that kind of stuff. Because what's that dude who, like, married his own adoptive daughter?
Fucking Woody Allen?
Oh. Yeah, that guy's still in movies, and he's still running around doing stuff, and everyone's like, yeah, this is fine. And you're like, really? What?
I don't get Woody Allen. I never liked his movies, and I don't get, like, the praise, and I don't get why he's getting away with, you know, basically sleeping with his daughter.
And then there's, Polanski. There's the guy who does, Yeah, Polanski too, and the guy who does Jeepers Creepers.
Oh yeah, he was a fucking...
That guy is a convicted child molester. Yeah, and he's still allowed to make movies. They just let him make movies and still work with kids. And you're like, what the fuck? Yeah, so I'm not making any excuses for anyone we've just mentioned. They're all bad people, and yeah, Shia LaBeouf... He's not even denying anything that's been accused of. But
you are all adults, hopefully. You can make your own decisions without us influencing it. But the whole purpose of you listening is so we can influence you. We know that.
Yeah. And bend you to our will. Yes. Buy our merch. Buy our merch that doesn't exist. Buy it. Sell. Watch the numbers go up. We have opinions.
Listen to them.
Well, I don't know. I guess I just thought it would be interesting to talk about Shia LaBeouf because I didn't know how deep this rabbit hole went.
No, it goes pretty deep, apparently.
And I think other people would be interested to know about, like, what the fuck is going on with this guy. Because he's been so weird forever. I remember reading stories about him putting, like, a bag over his head, and people would come into a room, and they would yell at him, and they could say whatever they wanted to him, and, like, weird shit like that.
Well, like that video that he did where he just screams at the camera, just do it, like the motivational shit.
Yeah.
And then one of my favorite things was the song that was made about him.
Oh, that was fantastic.
And then at the very end, he Citizen Kane's the clap.
Yes.
It's so good.
It's amazing. And, like, that kind of stuff back in the day was winning me over to him. It was, like, he was, like, working on a redemption arc, and I was like, oh, wow, cool. And it was, like, I was getting into Shia LaBeouf without knowing all the bad stuff that he had done. I just thought, like, oh, he was in Transformers, and he's lame. But now I'm like, oh, okay, maybe he's a good actor. Not knowing all of the drunken escapades that he'd been doing up until then.
Well, maybe you should just kick alcohol, Jared. Have you ever thought of that?
What a fucking nightmare. Apparently he's tried. I mean, but that's also no excuse for bad behavior either.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, let's talk about Honey Boy. Dan, what's Honey Boy about?
Honey Boy is about a child actor whose father basically raises him in the shittiest way possible. The father apparently is a sex offender. He's a felon and he can't get hired anywhere. So the boy hires him to be his chauffeur. Mom is out of the picture, but still maintains contact. And it's just the escapades of this little boy trying to, you know, navigate life as you know, a child actor in Hollywood.
Trying to bond with his extremely abusive dad. Who, like I said, they cut so much of the actual real abuse out because it was just too extreme.
Like, one of the fucking things, like, the very first thing, like, within the first 10 minutes is just the dad making fun of the kid's penis size.
Yeah. And that becomes, like, a running theme throughout it.
Yeah.
Where you're like, this is just insane. Like, the little kid's like, Dad, I'm 12.
He's like, yeah, like, but whenever I was 12... We had dicks the same way, like this.
It was really insane. And his dad used to be a rodeo clown. Yes. And he's, like, jealous of his son for being an actor, but he keeps trying to compare rodeo clowning to being an actor. And he's like, it's not the same.
Well,
he's
I mean, this is, film brings up a really, like, a lot of really cool philosophical questions in addition to the hardship of abuse.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the ethics of acting... and also what acting actually is. There's a point in the movie where Otis is his name,
the main character,
which,
right?
Yeah, which is a weird name.
Stand-in for Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, he's like, well, technically we're always acting, and then like I've always been somebody who has that train of thought. Like you put on different faces for different people, and that's the way the world works. So the film asks hard questions and shows hard answers, and it does it very well. This film was entertaining.
It's annoying because this film is really well made. It's wonderfully shot. I mean, I don't know what the budget of this movie was, but it must have had some money because there's so many like amazingly nice scenes in this film, and the story. When they restructured it, I mean, it's as a narrative, and like if you just take this as like a standalone thing, I think it's really good. There are certain scenes I was like, why? Like with the relationship between young Otis and the woman next door. Okay, question, Dan, does he have sex with this lady?
No, he does not.
Okay, because I just started fast forwarding through the parts where they were like kissing and taking their clothes off.
No, there was a really cool scene. Where his dad... Did you see where the dad comes in?
Yes, that was later on, yeah.
Yeah, so, no, she doesn't have sex with him, but she calls... he's like, are you having sex with my son? She's like, no, you're the only one that fucks him. I'm like, damn!
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Sick burn.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, no, it gets really weird. Like, they do get touchy feet, like, but it's not
Why does she act like a five-year-old? Like, she acts like she's a little kid. It's so strange.
Because she is also, like, I think her parents whore her out. I think that was what the implication was.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, she is seeing her young self in him, and she's, like, kind of regressing. And it's not a sexual love, but it's a sentimental and tender love. And it does get vaguely sexual at times.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about the way, you know, think about biology, dude. Like, you suck at your mother's teats. Like, that's
nasty. Vaguely that's gross, sexual. Dan.
Like, I'm just saying.
Dan.
I'm just saying.
You're fired from the podcast.
I'm just saying. Freud was right. That's all I'm saying.
Hashtag Freud was right. Hashtag, I don't know. Hashtag I'm real sad right now. Hashtag turn the podcast off. No, I kind of get what you're saying. But like, and he's using her as a mom figure.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't have a parental figure in his home right now. Like, he has to take care of his own dad, who is abusing him because he's just terrible at everything.
Yeah, that's like the biggest shitty part about it, really.
And why would you? Because his dad is like growing a weed farm on the side of the highway, which is like very noticeable. Anyone on the highway could see that. I thought that was silly. But like, why would he do that when his son already makes him so much money?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because I think he wants to have independence from his son. Like, he hates it so much that his son is providing for him, but also he has to have that or he will be homeless.
Yeah.
And there's that scene at the end where it's like, I'm just going to spoil this movie. What do you think?
Yeah, go for it. Spoilers.
Where he has a heart to heart with his son after like doing a bunch of drugs. He's like sitting on the toilet and shit. And, his dad is like, you know, how does that make me feel that like you pay for everything and that I work for you? And he's like, well, if I didn't pay you, then you wouldn't be here. Like, you would just not be here. And then he starts crying. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, wow. And then the whole other aspect of he made this film. And I'm like, did Shia LaBeouf's dad watch this movie?
Well, did you read the trivia for it? Like, the only way that, apparently the only way that his dad would have let this get made is Shia said that he was going to hire Mel Gibson to play his role. Which was a complete lie. Yeah, no, he wanted to play his dad from the very beginning. But the only reason that his dad signed off is because he thought Mel Gibson was going to be the
player. Well, what happened when he found out it wasn't Mel Gibson?
Film's already made, man. what are you going to do?
And he can't sue him. He doesn't have any money.
Exactly. But, so let's talk about some scenes. Like, two really fucked up scenes that, like, blew my mind. Mm-hmm. The first is mom calls, and she's talking to the kid, and then dad interrupts because, like, the kid's talking out loud. And then basically mom starts to say, she's like, you need to tell your dad this. And the kid speaks for mom. Like, she's feeding him what he needs to say.
But he's like acting.
Yes.
But as the character.
Oh my God.
Like, whoa.
It was so fucked up. It was so fucked up. And then there's the scene where he goes off on his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I see your point. I'm glad you brought this up to me. And then out of nowhere, the dad just fucking clocks the kid. Like, just boom. I'm like, what mm-hmm. the fuck?
Well, once he started talking about giving him a lesson, I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to hurt this kid.
Oh, my God. It was
like, yeah, I'll give you intense. A lesson.
It was intense. Just,
yeah. He did, yeah, Shia LaBeouf was really good in this.
He did such a good job. It's upsetting.
I think a lot of these actors, on some level, are emotionally disturbed like this. Like, they have issues with themselves, and that's how they can become these completely different people and, like, change in this way. So, and, like, we were talking about rock stars, how, like, they're super on drugs or messed up or crazy, and they're able... Like, Kanye West, he... I forget what
not
kind of
a rock star, but okay.
He's you know what I mean. Come on, he's a huge musician.
I know, I'm just
huge. But he compares himself to Jesus. He tried to run for president. He's like, and like all the things he says are just out of control.
Think that there's a little bit more going on than you're right. You're right.
He is legit mentally ill though, and he takes medicine for it. But he says that he goes off of his medicine.
Yeah.
To be creative. So I feel like a lot of these I'm not saying every actor and musician is mentally ill, but I feel like they all kind of have something there that, you know, like, if they were just like complete normies, they wouldn't be making things. I mean, I prefer them to not physically and emotionally abuse people for their craft. I mean, that would be nice. Well, I keep wanting to make sure everyone understands I am not making any excuses for any of these actors.
I feel like you've made the point very
good.
Clear.
Okay,
But you should see the wake of destruction that goes through my house having to make this podcast.
Oh, no. Yeah. Dan really likes to throw tantrums. If you don't have only green M&Ms in a bowl, he will lose his shit. Okay?
Exactly. Green and brown. I will allow brown.
Green and brown. But only the brown, only if the shell part's taken off and it's just the chocolate inside. They have to de-shell them.
And I will know if it's not a brown. If you de-shell an orange, I'll know.
Yeah, because Dan, he loves it. He'll yell, this isn't a brown! And he's like, I'll show you what a brown looks like, and then you can kind of fill in the rest.
Oh my God.
Dan, the professional brown maker. So this was an interesting episode because this is what I wanted anyways, is to really more talk about Shia LaBeouf than the actual film. I mean, Dan, was there any aspect of the movie you didn't like, I guess? Because there is something besides the child mom stuff, which was creepy.
No, I mean, like,
you thought it was good.
I thought it was a pretty good movie. It's a good drama. Like,
yeah. I will say I was losing interest. There are certain scenes where when the girl, the prostitute girl, I guess, and the boy were like playing around and stuff, and mm-hmm. it was like the dad going to the strip club. That whole scene could have been like shortened dramatically.
Yeah,
I really just felt like it went on for way too long. So there were certain parts where I was kind of like, all right, but that was only really towards the end. But yeah, overall, I think it's a good movie, but again, you know, like, I don't know if I want to recommend this film because it's like, do you want to support this guy? I don't know. So, I mean, everyone's an adult. You can make your own decisions. I mean, I wouldn't pay money to see
things right now. Especially after reading so much about him and how he's been,
mm-hmm.
He's been routinely being an asshole.
Yeah, and it's like, God.
But, oh my God, like, let's talk for a minute about, like, how Shia LaBeouf basically just does his best Hank Hill impression. And carries the movie with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think, if you can imagine Hank Hill being abusive, that's basically what this movie is.
Yeah. So you remember Peanut Butter Falcon?
Yeah.
So apparently during the filming of that, he got drunk and in trouble and arrested. During the filming of that. And then his co-star, like, berated him and was like, I am so disappointed in you. I can't believe you did this. Blah, blah, blah. And then he said at that moment, he was like, oh, all right, I'm going to turn my life around. Like, at, this was maybe after his second or third rehab. And that was, like, his crediting of, like, okay, I'm going to definitely change. I'm going to be a different, better person.
Second or third rehab. Yeah. Let's think about how but many rehabs also... does it take to get to the center of Shia LaBeouf?
But he didn't change because exactly, he did Honey Boy and then he started dating this lady and abusing her. And apparently he was emotionally abusing his other spouses. So it's like, oh boy.
He's going to die young.
He might be a habitual liar. Man, what a mess he is. What a mess. Shia LaBeouf.
He's going to wipe out on his motorcycle. Because I know he has a motorcycle.
No, don't say that.
Being drunk all the time gets you into physical harm.
Yeah, man. I can't even imagine what he's like normally. You know what I mean? Because he's always just like a different person in film. I don't know. So strange.
Maybe he's just like a never-ending, like, amalgam of characters. Yeah.
I honestly think he might be that way.
Like, I'll meet him one day, and then you'll meet him one day, and we'll have completely different stories.
Because he used to imitate his dad, apparently from his interview I was reading, when he was, like, 10 or, like, earlier. Like, when he was really young. Like, this is when he first started getting into acting, is he would imitate his dad. And so I'm wondering, like, whenever he is doing the things he does, you know, bad, is he just turning into his dad? Is he just, like, taking over the role of that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
One of my favorite parts of the movie is the credit sequence where he like cuts out pictures, old black and white photos of his family.
Oh yeah, you get to see everybody. Yeah,
that was really cool.
Oof, weird. All right, Dan. Final thoughts. What do you think?
Well, if you can look past the insanity that is Shia LaBeouf, and you want to take, it's autobiographical, but then again, like, how biased is it, you know? Because it's being told mm-hmm. from his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good drama. He's a powerhouse actor. And the cinematography, again, is just, ooh, it's wonderful. But, again, it's hard to recommend because of how shitty he is.
Yeah, I think the film takes on a whole new meaning once mm-hmm. you know all of the stuff that's been going on currently. And I think if you had watched it as intended, you're like, wow, what a great redemption arc. It's like the cycle of abuse, and he's trying to break that cycle. He's so brave.
Well, again, like, let's bring back up the whole idea that maybe this film was a cry for help.
Yeah.
But, like, what is going to help him if, you know, three rehab visits won't do it?
Yeah, like, and he keeps saying he wants to change, and he's not changing. And it's different because, like, alcoholism is no excuse for, like, being abusive physically or mentally mm-hmm. to people. So that's an underlying problem with him, regardless of if he drinks or not, you know what I mean? Because, like, I don't know. It's just inexcusable.
Yeah.
And then it's like you watch this movie knowing everything you know, and it's like, he is just his dad. Like, he has turned into his dad. This cycle mm-hmm. was never broken.
Yeah, exactly.
It is going on as they make the movie. And
which,
like,
makes it even more strange to watch him play his father. Because, like, essentially what he's doing is playing himself.
Yes. And he is him. He is his dad. And it's like, it's mind-blowing. And that's kind of the reason why I wanted to see this movie. Is like, would I get a deeper understanding of it? And now I feel like I'm getting more of his fake redemption thing he was trying to go for. Like, he was trying to do, like, this PR move of, like, oh, I'm an auteur. Oh, I can rise above and blah, blah, blah. Let me get my name better. You know what I mean? Like, let me clean up my act so I can get movie roles again. He was trying to pull, what's that guy who plays Iron Man?
Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, he's trying to do a Robert Downey Jr., but I don't think Robert Downey Jr.? I don't think he hurt anybody. He just did the drugs and stuff. And he's like, okay, I'll stop doing that. But yeah, I think he has failed. I think his attempts at, because it was Peanut Butter Falcon and then this movie apparently were supposed to be his things, which I didn't realize, but yeah. Or the first movie I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, okay, all right, I'm done talking about it. Okay, fuck. God, I don't know. Just end the podcast.
All right, everyone. You can find us on Twitter at IndieFilmPod. You can find us on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod. You can email us your lovely films at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Dates, deets, and links.
Dates, deets, and links. Ooh, dates, deets, and links. So, boy, everybody, I hope this was entertaining. I don't know. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Necropodicon.com is the place you can go to check out everything about the show, everything about all the other shows that are on the network. There's so many good ones. You know, go check it out. If you click on the link to the Discord there, it should be right on the front page. You can come talk to us and hang out. It's super fun.
Yeah, I'll talk to you. I mean, I stalk it. I stalk the hell out of that, but I don't partake very often because I'm a weird social media nutcase. But if you come and tell me something, I'll come and tell you something. How about that?
I feel like we should play taps for Shia LaBeouf because I don't think he's ever going to come up. I think he's just going to be dismissed like Kevin's. I mean, I still might bring him up and go, oh, I can't, I, you know, I hate that he sucks, but like, I don't think we're ever going to watch one of his movies again. That's for sure. I think this is it. So, all right. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you again. And Dan, you have the final word.
I'm going to title this episode Honey Boy, but basically we just talk about Shia LaBeouf.
Basically, we talk about Shia LaBeouf.
Hey, I'm Brad, and if you like D&D and fantasy stories with lots of magic, adventure, strange beasts, and oddball characters, and comedians with New Zealand accents, then oh boy, have I got just the show for you. The Fate of Ison is a podcast that has, wait for it, all of those things. Remember those things I mentioned? It's got all of them! Now go listen to The Fate of Ison because it's good and you deserve good things. Fate of Ison, a proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.